your hosts, Damone Carter, David Ma, and Nate LeBlanc.
Three underground rap nerds walked into a bar. An argument ensued about who the GOATs are. The seed was a thought that would turn into a pod. Now fans worldwide say, not a bad job, the ad hoc gab squad who chronicles the vanguard of hip hop at large. Rap taste slacked off, no need to be mad, dog. Look no further, it's the dad bod. Rap, pop, pop, pop. Podcasting live from San Jose, California, it is the Dad Bod Rap Pod. I am one third of your host, Damone Carter, a.k.a. Dim One, joined by my man, Dave Ma. What's good?
Hey, good to see you guys. Good to be here again. I know, and just full transparency, we've talked about this album before, and in some ways I wish I had a memory loss about that. But having said that, always great to sit down and talk about one of my favorite albums ever.
I remember you're the boss. Nate LeBlanc.
What's up, America, and parts of the UK and Australia, because that seems to be who listens to
That's
us.
Our audience.
Yeah, this album is great. I love it. We have interviewed Del about it in his home. Right. One of the highlights of my journalistic career. And a very funny thing happened last time we did this when we were about to record. We're at Damone's place in downtown San Jose right now, and a car alarm went off
right
when we were about to record, and there was literally no need for it.
Ever. Welcome to the 4th Street Experience. That was on time. Yes, No Need for Alarm is Del's second solo release on Elektra, and I think reading Dante Ross's Son of the City really helped me get context on this record. Shout out to Dante Ross and how it was put together. But before we get into No Need for Alarm, I'll pose this question. Is I Wish My Brother George Was Here slept on?
Oof.
David Ma.
Oof. I think for me personally, I heard this before I heard My Brother George, which sort of skewed sort of my absorption of My Brother George. Listening back, My Brother George is an incredible album and super well done and solid.
Yeah.
Sunny Meadows is a longtime favorite of mine that stands out. But it's, you know, from our conversations with Del, I remember when he was talking about Deltron and he was like, and he made it, and the reaction from his homies from the neighborhood, they're like, what's this weird shit that you're on? You know what I mean? And I feel like No Need for Alarm is like the Del album in terms of he gives you what we now know as Del in his work. You know what I mean? And it's minimal. It's minimal in the sense that it's really beats rhymes and life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the cohesiveness of the production I love. Casual produces, A-plus produces. Shout out to Stimulated Dummies and Dante Ross, who produced a couple tracks, Boo Boo Heads being one of them. And I mean, it's just one of those albums that, again, and this isn't any diss. It's not like it's an album of like crazy depth. You know what I mean? It's not like a philosophical album with messages strewn throughout or anything. But
it has one message. It has two messages.
Right. Whack. MCs are whack.
MCs are whack. And he had some growing to do around women.
That's right.
That's right.
Which we will get into.
We'll get into. Nate, is I Wish My Brother George Was Here slept on?
It's properly rated.
Okay.
Because it's like venerated by huge fans of like DJ Pooh and the Lynch Mob and Sir Jinx.
It's in the Ice Cube cinematic
universe.
It's
in the Ice Cube. Mm-hmm. Well, no, wait. Are we there yet?
That was wonderful.
It's so different tonally. It has the big George Clinton influence. Yeah. There are songs I love. It's almost two albums. It's like Hyro Del fighting with Ice Cube Del.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Hyro Del wins. And this album is what comes out of that. I much prefer listening to this, though. I think I might have told you guys this. I went to a campground called Stumpy Meadows over the summer, and my wife was like, please stop singing that horn line.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Contemplate a rhythm with a hunch.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Like, cook us some hot dogs for brunch. No. Anyway, I love Sunny Meadows. I love Pissing on Your Steps. I love Wacky World of Public Transportation. I don't actually love the song Bob Dobelina. There's stuff about it that's kind of weird and dated and very early 90s and very L.A., actually, I think.
It's of its time.
Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to... It heard about Dell and his amazing name, right? Isn't one mm-hmm. of the best things about Dell his
Absolutely.
Moniker? Like,
Absolutely.
I remember standing, I had a Dell shirt that I wore for many years. It's like the drawing of him in white, like so on a good. Blue shirt.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I remember
yeah.
standing in my mom's kitchen when I still lived at home, and my Auntie Paula was there. And she's like, "Oh, what's that on your shirt?" And I was like, "That's Dell the Funky Homo Sapien." And she was like, "You say what now?"
Yeah, exactly.
It was a short conversation. She's like, "I don't understand anything of what you're talking about. Like, let's move on," kind of thing.
That's like, I don't care who you date.
We love you no matter who you are, honey. But he just picked such a wild and kind of... demonstrative moniker for himself.
Yeah.
So that's who you're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
And in this one, you see that he's not this kind of wacky LA dude who happens to be Ice Cube's cousin. He's like a vicious MC
right.
who writes these crazy battle rhymes directed at anyone and everyone
yeah.
and just on a much darker palette with cellos and jazz drums
right.
and crazy bass lines. And so I think it's properly rated, and I think if you want to learn who Dell is, as Dave said, you should start here and then go back.
And then go back.
But maybe that's just how I absorb it.
It's right. it's a prequel.
Yeah.
I wish my brother George found me as, you know, an Ice Cube-ophile. Like, I was an Ice Cube stan at this point. And it was this interesting departure where you had elements of the Street Knowledge sound deployed differently. This is like Dell's America's Most Wanted. Like, it's just it goes in a slightly different direction. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. This is interesting. And it has there's some really good songs on that record. Whereas No Need for Alarm has some really good songs in a different way. In the traditional way of like old school rap from the East Coast, like No Need for Alarm kind of speaks to that, the song form and structure and all that. I mean, I'm sorry. I wish my brother George was here, has more of those type of joints.
Songy songs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. These are just long verses.
Right, right.
Yeah. They're screeds. But I feel like No Need for Alarm, for me, starts on the B-side of Dr. Bombay from I Wish My Brother George Was Here, where Dell has the song Eye Examination,
right.
which was huge. I mean, I can see the Dr. Bombay cover. I don't know if Nate brought it in his bag. But
I only brought stuff related to this record, but I hear you.
Yeah. That, for me, is like a launching point and one of those times that you knew there's these little moments where I'm like, oh, shit, rap's different. The Eye Examination joint was that for me. The sample was really weird, and he starts to go into this, I'm just going to rap. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real chorus. There's no real what's the song about. Who knows? Like, he's just going in and rapping his ass off. And I feel like that energy carries into No Need for Alarm, which to read Son of the City.
Which is an hour of that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
To read Son of the City, that Dante, and Dell corroborated this when we did the panel discussion with Dell and Dante Ross at Amoeba Records, that Dante had to go in and be like, this record sounds cool, but we need some more choruses. Like, we need mm-hmm. some more
structure, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more structure. Apparently, Dell had just kind of turned in, like you said, Nate, just like verses over beats. But isn't that what we want?
Yeah, that is what I want. And that's what rap has become, which is great.
Right.
Yeah.
A funny thing Dell told us, and I don't remember if it made the final edit or not. Dave and I's conversation with Dell was released as a Wax Poetics podcast. And if you look up Wax Poetics's, the magazine's SoundCloud, it's still there. And he said he just wishes he had named the songs whatever it says in the chorus.
Yeah.
Because he cannot remember what the actual titles of them are, and he just thinks of them as what's in the title. And that's like, Del has made a lot of songs at this point. He's made a lot of records at this point. He's a completely different person than he was when he made this. So it's so interesting to hear that. And it's kind of a, I love a clever album title, as you guys all know from listening to this podcast. But there's something to be said for if you're like in Belgium and you have to remember what song to tell the DJ to play and you don't know this dude, just being straightforward with it. So I always found that very amusing.
Yeah, and this album seems to be more of a return to form. I know that George came before, but I remember like in the early 2000s when the Hyro Oldies stuff came out.
Yeah.
And those Del songs from the Hyro Oldies are more reminiscent of No Need for Alarm than they are of George.
Yep. Yeah, he's kind of out. When he's not inside the industry system.
Right.
Right, of having to make like an album. Like he's making an album in 91 to compete with what? Main Source? Like.
Right.
There's shit like that that he has to contend with. Ice Cube's catalog, Ice Cube's hand is definitely on this record.
Right.
I think he didn't need to be so produced, is how I would put that.
Mm.
I think they were like, you're my weird cousin,
yeah,
and we're going to make you famous, and you're going to fit into what we're doing, and you're going to be the left field of this kind of like gangster funk centric universe that they were building. Like I'm a much bigger fan of that Lynch Mob record than most people probably are. Mm-hmm. And I think like there you could see Ice Cube setting up his franchises.
Yeah.
And Del was the one furthest to the left, right?
Yeah. Right.
But it turned out that was not Del's future. Del's future was in Oakland with the dudes from Hyro and just rapping.
Right. It wasn't his future development.
Great record. Great. We need to do a Patreon.
I'm gonna tell you guys a corner story.
So it's Del kind of breaks away from Ice Cube and the Ice Cube sound, and he gets into this other space. I think this is an interesting moment in the sense that we don't see this again, or maybe I should ask it as a question. Do you feel like there has ever been a moment where a more backpack record has had a larger platform? This the video for For Catch a Bad One debuted on MTV.
Crazy.
Wow.
Like,
crazy.
That's how big that was,
they had
right?
some pull back then.
Right, right.
So I'll pose that to you, Dave. Has a straight-up backpack record ever had this type of platform since?
Oof. Maybe not platform. In terms of impact, I mean, there's a few that we can name, right?
Sure.
Fun Crusher.
Sure.
You know. But yeah, I mean, this definitely was platformed. I mean, it kind of sucks to sort of to know the backstory and how things sort of went south after this, and how things got shelved, and you know, and as a result, like future development was delayed and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this might be it. I mean, everything about it is pretty iconic to the cover art, which Nate's holding right now. You know, when he's sitting in front of that pagoda, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very interesting that a lot of the aesthetic that we talk about when I say backpack, to me, is kind of all coalesced on this record. Like, it was around, there were elements of it, but I think it really coalesces here, Nate.
It's funny because my only rejoinder to what you're saying, which I basically agree with, is, yeah, there's two, 93 Till Infinity and Fear Itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, right. I don't know that Elektra was that much bigger than Jive or anything like that, but, like,
right.
That was a really dope moment, and it's not the start of underground rap. You have to include DJ Premier and Tribe and De La and many other things into that, but it is the biggest moment for backpack rap, which has come to be used as more of a pejorative, like an insult almost, and not for us. Mm-hmm. We like love that, and I've actually thought about this many times. I actually think Del is wearing a backpack on the cover of this, but he's not. He's holding a boombox, but he might as well be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get the sense that if he was out for that day to do a photo shoot with Carl Posey, who Dave and I had a funny interaction with when we were looking for images from this that we'll tell you about someday if you run into us in person.
Carl Poser? Just kidding. Just kidding.
he probably had his backpack, because where is he keeping that boombox?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And his BDs.
And his BDs
his,
and
know,
his weed. Yeah,
yeah. All
I've seen
that
him
stuff.
Around town, I mean, with a backpack.
Totally.
He'll definitely have a backpack on, right? Yeah, aesthetically, I mean, we'll talk about the cover in a bit, but it definitely fuses together this whole aesthetic, which you're absolutely right. Souls of Mischief demos were kicking around too at this time, and it was especially in the Bay Area. I remember there was this kind of groundswell. We have to remember that even a year after this, like Saphir comes out on a major label. Like there was a moment in time where the attention of the world was focused to this very interesting little subgenre. And I think of this record as like the best of that tradition. Yeah. Pick an iconic jazz record from a time. This is that for us in a sense. So let's get into it. It's not the most accessible record if you weren't around at that time, but Nate, if you had to pick a jam for the normies,
this is funny. This is exactly what my note says. Worldwide? Question mark. There kind of isn't one. This is not a record for the uninitiated. Like, if you don't like cascades of lyrics touching on various topics, like mainly about how other rappers are not as good as Dell, like you're not gonna like this record. So it's not meant. It doesn't have a party jam. It doesn't have a jam for the ladies. It doesn't have a reggae song. It doesn't have like a lot of times when we've been talking about like kind of like hardcore hip hop records in this way, I'll point to something that's almost like a novelty song, like an Alcoholics Only When I'm Drunk, and that's the only way I could kind of get
the entry
in.
Point.
Yeah, and Worldwide is famous among those of us who love this record because Dell introduces a character called Unicron, and people of this age will all immediately get that reference from Transformers, and it's actually Dell with his voice pitched up, which became a much bigger thing on other records later, but this is Dell's version of it, and it's he does like a back and forth with this other younger record, and it has like, and I know this sounds bad, it has kind of like a carnival-y
cartoonish.
Oh, definitely
cartoonish. Beat.
Yeah, I can see the carnival, the swirling.
Yeah. And like, and so in that way, I know that doesn't sound like it would be a very good rap song, but it is.
I love this song.
Yeah. So if I had to, if, you know, a normal person was like trapped with me in the car and I had the aux cord because I'm driving, I'd be like, oh, yeah, try this. And just see what they would think of it.
Okay, you would at least try to run Worldwide, but also understand if they're like, what
it's
the
fun,
fuck?
Right? I'm like elbowing them.
Yeah.
You know that's Dell? It's both Dell. Can you believe it? They're like, I don't know who Dell is.
Dave, what would you pick?
I would agree with Nate on the Worldwide part, especially in terms of representation of the album. I mean, the cover looks like a comic book.
Yeah.
And, you know, Worldwide is like, zoink, say, zap, zap, zoop, you know. Yeah, it's just very, like, you know, it's like when you watch, like, the old Batman where it's like, pow, kaboom. Like, that's what that song sounds like. My cut on the album is Catch a Bad One. Just the way it starts with the low violins and to hear it later reprised on Deltron's Madness, I think. Just beautiful. Yeah. And just reminded me of how much I love the album. And earlier we were talking about, like, for another episode, songs that kickstart an album. And this is one of those, like, out of the gate swinging.
Yeah, I think if I had to, I would pick Catch a Bad One, but I'd make them watch the video. I think the energy of the video, again, if we're talking about the backpack aesthetic, I think it all comes together there. It's like the whole Hyro crew are in the control room. Right. Dell's in the booth. I mean, we could do some research and see, like, there were probably in the booth videos before that, but that's like one of the most iconic, and he's like rapping his ass off.
Right.
And so
right.
if you're talking about rapping, which, you know, only a few people can do that well now. Dell was at the height of his powers. And if you don't like that one, then this just isn't going to be for you. Like, to your point, like, it's not. Yeah. So this isn't a super accessible record. But Nate, what is your jam from this record?
You guys already took Catch a Bad One, which it definitely would be. So I'll pick something else and I'll just go Whack MCs.
Yeah.
It's just like if the album had a thesis statement.
Right.
It's like you'd think it would be either the song that has No Need for Alarm in the chorus or the one that's actually called No Need for Alarm, but it's actually Whack MCs. Mm-hmm. They probably don't know this yet, but their time is up.
This is like a hate letter to all Whack
exactly,
MCs.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the opposite of like, let's all be together. Like, we were just talking on a previous episode. I don't know if it's going to air after or before this, but there's no spoilers for a record from 1993. We were talking about how Tribe Called Quest made a point to, like, be really inclusive right, on that yeah, record right. and involve yeah. their community, especially on the cover art. Yep. Dell is like the opposite of that. It's like you're either in high row and down with me, or it's fuck you.
Right.
Yeah. And like, right. and then here's like a 48 bar verse about how you're an idiot and your breath smells bad,
right.
and I don't want to be around you, and right. you shouldn't touch the mic, and you should quit, yeah. and like that. I'm just showing you. Rather than telling you how great I am at rapping by just rapping absolute circles around you.
Yeah.
And so that for me, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah, that's so much of what this record is about. And I wonder, because in the kind of Good Life Freestyle Fellowship world, that is also a major theme.
Yes.
And I wonder, like, not I wonder, I was around. It's to me, a lot of that is in response to rap is getting more poppy,
sure.
right? So there's sure. this idea, you know, I want to think Dell wouldn't talk about an MC Hammer in such terms, but...
The Bay Area connection and
right.
all that.
Yeah, right. I want to feel like, but I do feel like there was this sense that there were a group of folks who understood the craft and were, like, carrying on an unspoken tradition, and then there were, like, poppier acts, and I feel like a lot of this record is him taking this platform to rail...
Totally. Antithesis.
Yeah, of being like, this is not Vanilla Ice, right?
Right.
Dave, what about you? What is your absolute jam from this record?
Well, I might have messed up the prompts because I was talking about Catch a Bad One is my jam.
Yeah.
Well, the other one I was going to bring up sort of for the normies would be Worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, because it sort of exudes fun. And the sort of
it's the funnest thing that happens on this record.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, again, I mean, so brilliant in terms of, I mean, it made people be like, who's Unicron for a second?
There was a real controversy where folks thought Unicron was a real, like, protege of Dell's. I remember that.
Too. Right, right. So, totally. I mean, so if it's for the normies, I would be like, check out Worldwide. It's fun. You know, it's fun. And a big part of this album that, for me, is... you know, some of the heady stuff isn't fun to rap along with.
Right.
You know, but this album is just so fun to rap along with. I know every word, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's like a trumpet player that weaves in and out of like minimal beats.
And the same way that like you get enjoyment when you rap along to MF Doom. Like it's it's the joy of the way the words come together. But with a little bit of spite, more than a little bit of spite. And I feel like definitely at that time as a younger man, like I really identified with that. It's artsy spite, which right. exists yeah. in every scene, right?
Yeah. If we ever release a record or executive produce a record, I think we just found the title.
Totally.
Because that exists in every scene. Any group of people who feel they know about a thing
right.
develop a sort of arrogance,
totally,
right?
Totally.
It's like we have a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a core part of what we do
like
here.
Self-marginalized. You know what I mean?
Us against the world.
Yes, exactly.
And I think this is articulated for rappers on this Catch a Bad One in particular is kind of like almost like a national anthem, like at a time. All right, let's talk about best 3-song run on this album, which is an interesting prompt given that the songs are really similar.
Right, totally. Totally.
There isn't a ton of like variation in content or even sonically, like a lot of the beats come from a similar palette. But Nate, what would be your 3-song run?
I'm just going to cheat because I do think they're the 3 best songs and they're all in a row and they happen to kick off the album. But it's almost not worth even saying, but we've done a lot of these.
Right.
And like there's an argument to be made for the first 3 songs on the album. And on this one, I truly think this is the best 3-song run on the album. And like, if this was an EP,
oh God,
like Dell would be the biggest legend. Yeah. Like, it's just like all killer, no filler, right. hilarious album or song title in Urine Shambles.
Yes.
It's like, this totally. Is very indicative totally. Of Dell's, like kind of mastery of language. Like who's saying that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're in shambles.
Yeah, it's right. like your whole shit is fucked up, dude. Totally. It's just like you just like you can't even be dealt with right now. You're just in shambles.
Is this proto trolling?
I don't know exactly. That's an interesting take. But like Dell is like a very online, you know, person presence. In his way. I think more in like a gaming
definitely.
Space, but as far as I can tell, but I think it's just masterful rapping. crazy beats. We talked about the Catch a Bad One beat. It's just, for me, some of my favorite stuff. That's produced by Casual, and I think one of Casual's, like, great works of art.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, did he want to keep that one for himself?
Well, I know he wonders that now. He's like, oh, shit.
Like, he killed that shit. Too casual about it.
It was Casual Friday or what? He just, just passed out the beat.
So, yeah, I know that's not the most exciting answer, but You're in Shambles, Catch a Bad One into Whack MCs. Like, you just get a huge sense of what's happening on this record. You hear some amazing internal rhymes. You hear some, like, decent choruses that don't, like, fuck up the flow.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really good. I've told this story now, I feel like, many times on here, but, like, I really got to know this record because it's one of the only tapes I had, and I would listen to it on the bus.
Yeah.
And this
it's was a bus. It's a bus album.
This was about the bus ride to school. Yeah. So it's like, if I
which
was...
Which is also hate-filled.
Yes, right. Exactly. So it's like, I could start my day when I'm 13 years old listening to these three songs and then go in and, like, kill some algebra or whatever. So, yeah, I just think an excellent start to an excellent record.
Dave, would you disagree?
It's impossible to disagree with that. And, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, this isn't, like, an exciting take, but definitely those three are pretty much the synopsis of the album, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, again, I mean, kicking off the album, the song titles, and, you know, Catch a Bad One, everyone's in shambles, everyone's a Whack MC.
Perfect.
You know? And, you know, speaking earlier, I mean, on the production tip, it's like, like I said, it sounds cohesive, you know? Like, if you were to tell me, yo, that was all A plus or something, I'd believe it, you know? But it's really like, it's a lot of people involved. And I think everybody was just really tuned in to this sort of rejection of, you know, the mainstream kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where the game starts to kind of fracture. Yeah. I mean, as much as I want to have a contrarian take here, it is the first three songs. And I feel like, you know, there's not really a strong argument to be made for any other three-song stretch because it establishes what this record's going to be about. And I think the other songs are just elaborating on those premises, with the exception of one, Boo-Boo Heads. let's have the Boo-Boo Head discourse.
The song has not aged well. It's hilarious. It's objectively hilarious to call someone a boo-boo head.
Totally, totally.
It sounds like a little kid who doesn't know swear words yet got really mad. Exactly. Like, my uncle was a teacher for many years, and he has told this story, like, at our camping trip many times. Like, some kid in his class, I think, like, a second grader, just got so pissed off at him once, and he was like, "You underwear head." And that was like the worst thing he could think of in like a second grade mind. And Dell has done like the, you know, 22-year-old hip hop version of that by
absolutely.
I don't know if he coined it or if he just popularized it, but I don't know any other boo boo heads.
I don't think I've never heard that term.
It's just
by
a funny thing
else
to say. It's an incredibly raw, misogynistic song. Dell, we talked to him about it. He kind of feels bad about it these days.
Right.
It's not like, you know, one where he's standing behind every lyric, and like, he's just calmed down a lot and he's learned a lot about other people and about women, and he's come to a different place in his life, and that's really beautiful.
Right.
And you know, big shout out to Dante and the SD50s. It's a good song. I loved it when I was a kid.
And Dell performed part of it.
It was really cool to see him do the first verse, right?
Yeah. And then kind of put it down, which I think that's appropriate.
Yes.
Right.
That's the appropriate way to handle that, to be like, this was good, but let's not get all into it.
Celebrate it.
Right.
Yeah. Set it aside. Everything's cool. A song that I want to bring up that I don't think we have talked about a ton is Wrong Place.
Yeah.
It's at least narrative.
Sure.
Sure.
So in that way, it's a little bit of a different flavor.
That's true.
And I think it's got a great chorus, and I think you really see Dell's storytelling chops, which really shine on the first album.
Yeah.
One of the great things about Brother George is that Dell tells like really detailed and like stories that make sense.
Yep.
He doesn't drop the narrative just to rhyme or to make a joke or a point.
They're colorful.
Cohesive.
Like he really paints a picture.
Yeah. They're full of characters and stuff like that. And I think Wrong Place has a video as well, right?
Yep,
it's black and white.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. Not the highest budge perhaps.
No. And we were struggling. I don't know if it's all in black and white, but we were watching it and we were struggling to figure out, there's a white dude in there, and is it Dante? Like we were trying so hard to figure out. But yeah, it's a story, but it's not really actually about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like if you have hash in your wallet, and you're leaving,
we talked about
you're leaving
this,
Amsterdam.
Right. Yeah.
Is that the wrong place at the wrong time?
Right.
Or
a predictable like place at the most predictable time. Yeah.
It's like you know customs exists, right?
Right. Yeah. They found it as wallet. You just can't call it. Yeah, I like that. It's a little change of pace. I do wonder though, and I wish I would have asked Dante this. It almost has the feel of a, hey, Del, we don't have another single
right
for this record. Can right you do something that's like tangible? Like, can you do a some type of song with the narrative? Because I believe, if I'm remembering it right, it was Catch a Bad One, then it was like Wrong Place, Wrong Time as the second single, third single?
Oh, I don't remember. I thought Wrong Place was the first, but I'm not good at sort of which was before.
I don't think these have dates necessarily except for the year. Wrong Place and Catch a Bad One are the two 12 inches that I have in the bag here, but I can't tell which one came out first.
Okay.
And on the album, in the little Hi-Ro logo, it shouts out Catch a Bad One, No Need for Alarm, and then No More Worries featuring right Hieroglyphics, which it doesn't feature all of the cats in Hi-Ro, but you can tell he really wanted to get that in there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
those were the ones. I don't know what order these decisions were made in. I wasn't paying that close of attention or buying records at that time, but those are definitely the two 12s. And if I had to guess, I would think that Catch a Bad One came first, but I don't have any current evidence for that.
I mean, I have my memory, but that's just notoriously faulty.
Hey, Dad Pod, Rap Pod listeners. There's no need to stress over the holidays this year. We've even got those impossible to shop for family members covered. Our sponsor, Dadgrass, now has something for everyone, including your most loved furry friends. Take the edge off and enjoy the season with their classic pre-rolled joints, hemp flower, tinctures, gummies, and now, new one, CBD dog bones.
Man, Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. And like Bob Marley said, puts you in a mellow mood.
Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints and flower are very low in THC and very high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head.
And now they offer a variety of products, so you can now take your dose the way you like it. From their CBD tincture drops to the newly launched CBD gummies, you can take a gummy bear to the face now, with flavors like classic blackberry ginger, good time hibiscus lime, nighttime midnight berry. You can chill out without getting way too stoned.
Wow. Those actually sound really good. And it also sounds like every tea I have in my cabinet, which is awesome. I think that's a good pairing that we should explore. And Dadgrass did not forget about your furry friends, pet owners. You know you need the dog to chill out. They just released CBD dog bones, so everyone in the house can enjoy.
And you know, if you smoked a couple joints too many, don't even worry. Don't even get paranoid. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, ships right to your doorstep.
Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood.
Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/dadbod.
Go to dadgrass.com/dadbod for 20% off your first order and to support the show. We appreciate your support.
That's dadgrass.com/dadbod.
Boom.
Yeah, I feel like.
So are we calling Boo Boo Heads the skipper?
I would skip Boo Boo Heads, but if we were to pick another day, what's a skip for you on this album?
This one's easy, and I know, like, you know, Boo Boo Heads is certainly misogynistic and hasn't aged well, but I love the song as an aesthetic track.
Yeah.
For me, it's In and Out.
Yeah.
Every time
ear and out the other.
Exactly.
Huh?
every time I hear I can hear the hook in my head, and it's so boring. And it's so boring, which is weird to say because it's not to say that that song is that different from any of the other songs.
Right.
But yeah, when I hear that hook.
It's the power of a bad hook, though, right?
Right. Or you know, what's worse, a bad hook or like an underwhelming one, you know? Probably bad, actually. But yeah, this one, would be mine.
That would be
yours. Do you have a skipper?
My skip would be Check It Out.
Okay.
Kind of slow, kind of after we've heard The MCs have been pounding to a fine dust for about 10 tracks. Right. And then we have a really slow-paced one.
Right.
True. That's the second to last song. So that to me was always a skipper. And I feel like of this era, I remember the skips really vividly because that's when you'd have to use your Walkman battery to press fast forward.
You actually would have to press. If you really couldn't take it, you had to exert literal energy.
You were draining timing. Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and if you go too far, you know, there's just yeah.
Yeah, there was an art to it, and I think that's in part, I can only speak to my own experience, but I think in part that's why albums mattered so much at a time. An album that, for instance, a Dos Effects, which has five amazing songs,
right,
and like five filler songs, spread across two sides.
Yeah.
That tape was a nightmare. Didn't rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to like chop it up and make it part of other tapes because the good songs are so good, but the not good songs would eat up all your battery life.
Just
so
Siggity sucked.
No Mass Effects.
So yeah, that would be it for me. Check it out. Feels gratuitous on this album.
We've moved on from skippers. We're just kind of talking about the album now. I would like to talk a little bit about No More Worries.
Yeah.
Snoop, not Snoop Dogg,
right.
The Hyro Snoop, doesn't have a ton of appearances over the course of his career, but like his line where he's like, "I'm the hardest artist going far," is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, we'll finish it.
Yeah, jack off on Jupiter because I'm shooting for the stars.
Now, Nate has long quibbled with the astronomical aspect.
It's not correct from a scientific
Nate
sense.
Nate deGrasse Tyson.
I'm not here to steal joy like my name's like my cousin Neil, but it's just a hilarious thing to say. And for years, I was like, because the way this is laid out, it's kind of hard to tell. Snoop is on the next line, so it just looks like it's lyrics by A+, Del Casual.
Yeah.
And then it just, on the next line, it's like Snoop / and then they start giving the publishing info.
Interesting.
And so I was like, that's not Casual.
No.
He has a very distinctive voice. It's not A+. I know 93 Till Infinity like the back of my hand, and it's certainly not Del. So who the fuck said that?
Yeah, and Snoop had sort of a mystique about him of Extra Prolific, the Hyro affiliated group,
mm-hmm.
and their release that didn't come out till much, much later was one of those kind of holy grail.
Yeah.
There's this other group, it's called Extra Prolific, there's Snoop in there. And so I just remember being like, oh shit, that's the dude they're talking about. Ah, mm-hmm. This does sound dope. And so yeah, that Del, if nothing else, Del, on top of being an amazing rapper, was the RZA of his rap crew.
Nucleus, right?
Yeah, he used his spot and his platform.
Put everybody on.
To put everybody on, as he details in Don't Forget.
he didn't forget.
And so, yeah, he really does a good job of, like, making space for the talented homies to come through and do their thing. It's one of the better, I would say this, of rappers that, like, bring along quote-unquote protégés or people under their wing, Del probably has the best crop. Like, most rappers bring along somebody who's clearly inferior to them,
used to
hold their weed, whatever, and you're just like, dude, why are you foisting this person upon us? Huh. But almost everybody that Del helped to bring to the fore was amazing.
Introduce Souls of Mischief.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. Come on.
Yeah, but I think sometimes rappers are, it's an ego thing. Like, you don't want... Sometimes I think folks don't want to be that closely associated to a group that's just as good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even better in some instances. So Del as connector, Del as a minister of whack MC stomping, just kills on here. Let's talk a little bit about the cover itself, which, Nate, you're a good Bay Area guy. You're a Bay Area backroads guy.
Pagoda like structure is very findable in Oakland. I've been. You can go. It's kind of near Jack London Square.
Like around 5th?
I don't know the exact coordinates right off the top, but it's a little underwhelming when you've built up the mythology in your head since you're a little kid like me.
Right.
You're like, oh, Interesting. Yeah, that's shot from below. It's it's interesting that it's there, but it's not. It just didn't loom as large. Like I was obsessed with this cover when I was a kid. I love how Del did all the hand styles himself.
Yep.
I love his hand and like the way he wrote everything. His little Hyro logos that he sneaks the way that they use the old school Electro logo. I was a huge comic book fan at the time. Obviously, he was as well.
Yep.
He's got the boombox. He's got the hoodie. He's got the Detroit Red Wings cap. He's got all these weird piercings.
Smoking beaties.
I thought for sure he was smoking a joint for years until I learned what beaties were.
Right. Even
it looks like he's wearing sweatpants and a Superman is Dead shirt. It's just like he just looks so accessible. He looked like a kid. He looked like one of us.
Yep.
Just more talented and better at rapping. And it's just there's so much of Dell's personality in this. And it's just so Oakland. It's like this is what Oakland looks like. It's just there's like houses. Things have a little bit more personality than just your average bland suburbia, but it's all about the bright blue skies.
Right.
There are some great photos of Del in the yellow crew neck sweater and his bucket hat where he looks so fucking cool.
Totally.
Just like the coolest person, and that has borne out after meeting Del many times now. He's just such an interesting cat. He's always had his own sense of style, and I think this record cover is the most he ever got to contribute, because as you talked about, it's like on a big platform.
Yeah,
they had some budget.
He had the machinery to do something like this.
Strange for the time. It's two LPs.
It
has like four different sides. The songs are spread out, which means you could actually play it. Many things at this time are on like little flimsy single LPs that just sound terrible.
Yep.
And it's just a good record, man. The cover is really important to it, and was really important to me especially.
I think the use of photography here has to be noted, in that that was big at the time to like have a really cool photograph. To me, this is like, it has echoes of Check Your Head in terms of like how the artist is captured, but also kind of part of this bigger scene. I've always loved the cover. I've always loved that photograph. And to me, it's Del from this point forward is just this is like the sourdough starter of all the other shit he was gonna do.
That's
like
they
just, you know, Deltron just takes some of this, right?
The sourdough starter.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have the Catch a Bad One.
I have the Catch a Bad 12. One 12-inch. It's actually a I guess it's a bootleg. I should get a real one. You can always tell from these Made in England stickers. I really need to upgrade my copy of this.
Though.
And it doesn't sound amazing either, but No More Worries and Whack MCs are on the B side.
Yep.
Catch a Bad One has a remix, which is pretty cool. And the remix is by A+. I've played that out a few times, and then I have a OG of the Wrong Place, Wrong Time 12-inch. They use like the magazine cutout, like ransom note.
Yeah.
Aesthetic.
Love the green. The green and,
totally.
And orange.
Totally. This is a great record. Wrong Place. LP version, casual remix, LP instrumental, Don't Forget, LP version on
and
the B side, and then The Undisputed Champs, featuring Q-Tip and Pep Love and Jay Biz, Del self-produced, and this like just sends his, like, it, just like this bat signal to the hip-hop heads, like fucking Del and Q-Tip, amazing. Del's,
right.
The merging of those two, almost like heads of state. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and the West Coast contingent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The representative. This Undisputed Champs was a huge joint in the sense that it introduced us to Pep Love.
Yep.
Who starts off the song, and it was mind-shattering at the time. He says, "I exemplify a pimpified Mac acting like this shit, nigga mashing rappers with a passion."
Woo!
Take my breath away. it was such a big thing. And again, in the same vein that like Snoop was this kind of underheard prospect within that group, Pep Love kind of held a similar status, right? And again, good on Del for bringing his boys and then having Q-Tip come on. And if we could, because we just talked about Midnight Marauders a little while ago in an episode you probably heard already. Can we talk about the fact that like Q-Tip can kind of jump into any feature and kind of just freestyle his way around it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his verse here is not as sharp or killer as the other ones.
I remember they pull out when he says anal. Yeah. come on. You know what I mean? But like he has so much swag and just the voice, you know?
Yeah. And I think Q-Tip is savvy enough and like, you know, very much at the top of the world right now. But even he's like, he probably had heard Souls of Mischief before they came out. They're label mates. He's like, yeah, I can rap, but not like that.
Not like that. I'm not going to try.
That's not my thing. Yeah. Like to just go bars like so, like these dudes are crazy writers. I'm projecting a lot here. Absolutely. I don't know if he felt that way. I don't think Q-Tip needs to be intimidated by anyone, especially at that time. But I do know that that is not his thing to do like crazy bar fest.
Right, right.
He's abstract brother, and he like brings different imagery, and he sets moods and tones and interacts with the beat and is playful and effervescent and fun, not like just killing you.
Right, right. And, you know, Dante kind of talked about it when they brought Souls to the East Coast, and people were like, yo, you guys can rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm sure there's some of that did happen.
Yeah, there's definitely a mutual respect there, and that song was huge in terms of like qualifying what Hyra was doing, right? Like Q-Tip on top of the world at that point. And Elektra's, I mean, roster that they had at that time had some real hitters. Like Brand Nubian was on Elektra at that time. KMD was on Elektra at that time. So the energy that's around this record, the B-sides that came out of it, like everything about it just screamed an era and a time. And then I feel like after this, or I should say after 93 till infinity, maybe Fear Itself, you could say, door closes. Now the door is closed. Like, we never, things like this happen again, but never quite on the scale. You mentioned like a Def Jux, right?
Right,
Which was an indie movement. Like, the majors kind of were like, okay. Yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Like, guess what people don't want to listen to? Exactly. An hour of crazy rapping about people who suck. And guess what they do? Britney Spears.
Yeah. 100%. and then rap has to speak to that, right? And we like I think this is like the precursor to the shiny suit era and kind of all of that, but it is this and I think this is what the most curmudgeon-y backpacker types cannot get over is there was a moment where this shit was kind of central.
Yeah.
Where you didn't have to, like, seek it out. Like, the videos would come on TV. The songs would come on the radio.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were hits.
They were hits. And yeah. I feel like that gave folks a false sense that, like, oh, well, this is the way.
This will continue forever.
Right.
No, I think it was this weird moment where the industry didn't know how to exploit rap. And so they had to go with the people who seemed like they could do it. Like, okay, that seems good. You seem like you know what you can do. Let's try to put out an album around you.
And that's basically all the music that is foundational for us. It's like just before the independent movement that Hyra was such a huge part of. And like one of the most commendable things about what they did is how they rebounded from being shelved and dropped and re-centralized and did this beautiful communal business thing and revolutionized the internet to tour and so many great things. We can talk about Hyra all day and often have. But right before that, when everything was funded and accessible, that really did create some of the great music of all time.
Yeah, and because they were on those platforms, now we can see it and enjoy it. It's a collective experience. Had, you know, let's say if Souls of Mischief were like the fucking Juggernauts, it would be different. You know what I'm saying? But Souls of Mischief occupy...
So like if Breeze Bruin was in Souls of Mischief, is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God.
That would be fucking... disgusting.
That's nuts. Come on.
My ears would like just orgasm. So this is to me, and this is always the way I remember it, is like it was this euphoria. The things that I liked are very central in the culture, and then like, whew, like that shit.
Yeah. Door opening, grand closing.
Yeah. Door closed pretty quick. So this, in that sense, this record has always had kind of a special place. So. I think it is worth exploring, though, the question that we've been kicking around. Of its time or timeless, David Ma?
I got to say, aesthetically, definitely of its time. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to put this on and be like, did this come out last year?
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Having said that, I mean, such a timeless record to me personally. And certainly Bay Area history and certainly the whole Hieroglyphics ascendant and rise and lore. Yeah, definitely timeless to me. And to see what Del went on to do with Deltron and Gorillaz, it's like the dude had one of the best decade runs of all time
yeah.
when it comes to rap. And this was sort of the early seedling. So Timeless to me.
Yeah, timeless to you.
Well right? said, Dave. Yeah, you have to, I think, in culture at large, it's of its time. But for me, it's an all-timer. It really was important to me at a really foundational time and, like, taught me kind of what I want to be listening to and how, like, I really prize attack when I listen to rapping. And not exclusively, but, like, you look at a Ghostface on, you know, Supreme Clientele and Pretty Tony, and it's, like, just, like, really getting after it and being weird and, like, you, like really vivid funny imagery and, like, not like a book smart, like, I read the fucking thesaurus approach to language, but, like, I talk to people who talk slick my whole life and absorbed different speech patterns and connotations and a willingness to use different kind of words. Like, I really, really like that. And nowadays, rap is so laid back, and I like that, too. And there's a lot to be said for people falling behind the beat and doing dreamy stuff, and that's so much of where rap is now. But, like, I love how much Dell attacks this album, and that, for me, will always, like, have a place in my, like, consciousness and my heart and, like, what I prize about hip-hop. So, I, like Dave said, it's timeless for me, but I understand it's not timeless for everyone.
Yeah, I feel like it's a record of its time, but also that time period has proven to be somewhat timeless.
It really looms large. The 93 in particular. We had a lot of fun doing these wrap ups for the year of 1993, and I don't know if we're gonna continue this or dedicate a section of next year to doing this. We have some pretty exciting stuff coming up. We want to talk to you guys about when it's possible to be talked about for 2024, which sounds crazy to say.
Crazy.
But it's doing this 93 one, we got to touch on some of the literal best records of all time. Mm-hmm. And we very much consider this to be in there, but we're Bay Area dudes. We might not totally understand where this falls in place for someone who grew up in Atlanta or New York or Illinois or Texas. Like, every region was starting to find its voice at that time, and there were some pretty exciting things happening everywhere. But for us as Bay Areans and as Californians and just as West Coasters in general, it's kind of hard to overstate how much this set the terms.
Right.
Yeah, this is a seminal record in that sense. And I do feel like the aesthetics of it have lived on. Rapping about rapping isn't necessarily what it used to be, a little passe at this point. But the visual approach, the single-mindedness to say, I'm going to do a record all about this, definitely admirable and something that's just basically in my musical DNA. Perhaps yours too. Let us know how you feel. We are at Dad Bod Rap Pod on Twitter, at Dad Bod Rap Pod on Instagram. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/DadBodRapPod. If you were on the Patreon, you would have been one of the first to learn about our t-shirt drop. We got new shirts out in the ether.
We argued so much about this fucking shirt. You have to buy a shirt. If you're hearing my voice push this air into this microphone, go to Merch Engine and buy a shirt. We had so many different ideas. We ended up at something pretty streamlined, and I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
We would love it if you would rock it so people can say, like, oh, you don't really look like you have a dad bod. You're looking pretty good these days.
Yeah. Tell us more. Please cop the shirt. Send us your pics of you in the shirt, preferably with pants, but it's whatever. If you want a Winnie the Pooh that shit, I'm here for it too.
Wrong thread, Damone.
Yeah. Wrong place, wrong time. But yeah, just, you know, we offered that to our Patreon homies first because we really value that community that we built there. Supported.
By the time this is out, you're probably, it's in the ether. You can check our Twitter.
Yes.
At DadBodRapPod, our Instagram, at DadBodRapPod. I don't think we're currently on any other things. Weren't we kind of on Threads?
We were on Threads for like 3 days, and then I just gave up. I lost hope in it. But yeah, we'll be getting the link out and around. Please support it. Supporting the shirts or the Patreon allow us to keep creating this content that y'all seem to enjoy. And just to kind of further tease, Nate threw out some stuff. We got some big stuff coming up for 2024. We've got some equipment upgrades. We have gotten your IT tickets. We understand some of the issues. with the sound, so we appreciate everybody's patience in that regard. We are music nerds, not audio nerds. but we're going to dial it in. And yeah, we got some exciting things coming up, so we hope that you join the Patreon. You'll be the first to know about it. You get Nate's radio show, Fly Sporadic, my playlist series, Dems Gems, and we do special Patreon-only segments that kind of are a little looser than some of the rap discussions we have. We talk about different things. I want to throw this out to y'all based on a conversation we had on one of the Patreons, Lemons versus Limes.
hot button topic.
Wow. It was a hot button topic.
Still getting feedback on that.
I posed this to my youngest daughter, and she said, "Oh no, limes are just specialty lemons."
Wow.
I was dying.
She's like, "Let me reconsider everything."
Yeah. Fuck. Good parenting, Damone.
Yeah. So I was like, damn. Yeah. So that's the kind of discourse that you can get on Patreon. For $5 a month or $51 a year, shout out to everybody that's
and
been
then there's
supporting.
Like these people who are signing up without paying. I don't understand what's going on with that. So do they not actually get any of the posts?
Like, so you can sign up.
We don't have to talk about this on the air.
No, we should, because I want people to understand. On some Patreons, you can sign up and you kind of get things like for free. Like we can choose what content is for subscribers and what right. content is for the freebies. So just know that when you subscribe and you don't pay anything, just go to Twitter. Like, it's fine. Like, we're not we don't have the wherewithal to create like these several streams of things.
Our Patreon podcast our podcast network owner operator Open Mike Eagle told us when we were setting up our Patreon not to do tiers.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
tears equals tears.
Yeah, exactly. After the laughter.
Okay, we all did the same joke.
Thank you.
We are not organized enough to pick and choose who's getting what posts.
Yeah.
Only the Patreon homies are getting the posts.
Yep.
So we love anybody who wants to sign up for anything, but if you
you're probably not gonna
get hundreds of hours of exclusive content if you just sign up. You're probably a lovely person, but you know, you might want to move the decimal point a little bit.
Yeah,
if you want to get the stuff.
Just a little bit, because as we go into this new era, you gotta support what you love, folks. I don't get on this soapbox very often, but I do feel like if this is content, if this is a conversation that you're into, nobody else is coming for us. Dadgrass doesn't pay that much to support a whole program. So we do rely on the generous contributions of y'all. And like I said, we're working on some things that will leverage some of the money that we made from talking. So, yeah, rock with the Patreon. We appreciate your patronage no matter how you fuck with the program. It's Dad Bod, Rap Pod.
It's such an unbelievable pleasure for you to treasure and much needed to make it fat though on another plateau. You've been needing to get in the groove by doing it natural as we get jazzy with classy shit to make them hard ass rappers want to blast me. Cause I exemplify and pimpify Mac and acting like this shit nigga mashing rappers with the passion. When I get tempted to try flashing lyrics, I snatch the spirits like a big disappointment. But this here shit will surprise you, devise a plan. A pipsqueak shit sweet cause the size of the man. So if you wanna measure up, then press your luck. Cause when I'm in the cut, man, there ain't no catching up. I bet you never heard a nigga with a vigorous flow. Bigger this flow, getting ate like a clitoris. No, I never could have seen it.